Hi, my name is Thomas Mann. I'm going by the name Pixtour, working with a company called Framefield. And today I want to talk a little bit about a passion project of mine, which is called Skill Quest, playful path into mastery. And maybe I should start with what's Tixel. So Tixel is an open source real-time procedural content generation tool. So it's coming from Demoscene. So yeah, built like small, maybe impressive animations, but you can also use it for VJing, interactive art installations. You can actually export executables, with your projects. But you can also do like nonlinear editing with keyframes and movie clips and whatnot. So a little bit like After Effects. So I want to introduce my ideas a little bit by talking about where I'm coming from. So I started a very, very, very long time ago, probably longer than some of you are alive, by building Demoscene stuff. Demoscene used to be like a subculture of people coming together at these parties and having competitions to build very impressive real-time animations. And I don't know, maybe for instance, IQ, who is like the founder of the toy, is like, he's also coming from the demo scene, as well as like a bunch of other people, like the guy from 3JS. But anyways, so back then I was doing the design. So I'm not, didn't do anything of the shader and graphics pipeline programming, but I was using other people in my team to basically build like all the widgets and so on. And I had a lot of fun, but eventually we figured out that to do this right, you actually have to create tools to make these animations. And then I learned that, okay, actually building these tools is actually even more fun than actually building these projects. So I started to love making tools about to create stuff. And we started very simple. So I didn't find a screenshot of my first tool, but this is Werkzeug, which we cloned. And then eventually, over the years, this turned into tool, which became pretty elaborate. And actually, this is why we created the company, and we used it for a bunch of exhibitions and so on. So, eventually, over the time, I figured out actually it's even more fun to create tools for others to create stuff. Eventually we made a tool open source. A bunch of people use it to build their own projects. So I went online yesterday. There's a repository and archive for like this demo scene stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, they have a bunch of lists there. And, you even have to each list fills more than a page with a fumbling. And here very small, you can actually see that we eventually decided to rename this thing into Tixel. I use this to eventually figure out that I'm having as much fun like teaching stuff, not just the software, but actually computer graphics in general and design. I did a bunch of workshops and taught a while for procedural computer graphics at Ludwigsburg. So nowadays we have a new website. So we call it Tixel because it's better searchable than tool, and you can download it and go online and look at the source code, clone it. We have an extensive set of tutorials and examples and so on. This is how it looks nowadays. We have a Discord, which last night I was like, okay, maybe I should insert a screenshot. And then I noticed that actually there were people live, like playing with this thing, once in a while they come together and use this and to come together and share like their knowledge and so on. And I was quite humbled about this number down there. So anyways, one of the things I always struggled with was actually how do you teach the software, especially if the software gets more and more complex. And so Tixel has a huge, like a huge feature scope. You know, it goes stuff like, you know, state development, hot code reloading, C sharp, keyframe animations, keying, procedural computer graphics. Nowadays, there's a step sequencer, so you can play samples and audios. It has like NDIs, board and so on input. You can export it, can build interactive things with this. So, you know, it's like a waste, like a huge feature scope. And, so the things I tried over like the years now is, UX always helps. So if something is like more usable, it helps. So I try to watch people, you know, like when they are online and playing with this and sharing their screen and sneaking in and like watching them work and like trying to figure out like what, where they click and where they don't click. And like, why didn't? So like if they're actually clicking on the checkbox or on the label of the checkbox, which has a larger hit area. So like, I know that, we should do more documentation, but it's hard. We have a bunch of examples which worked okay. The Discord works pretty well. I would have said it's a commercial company, but without Discord, the project wouldn't be there. I really have to be grateful for that. And I learned that tutorials, we did a lot of tutorials, but I think there is no, that the difference between like the effort and the things you get out of this doesn't work out. And a workshop, well, tomorrow, maybe. And of course, we have meetups, and this would actually works very nice. So every second Monday we meet. And then one thing I definitely learned that nobody has ever learned a software from YouTube. And I think sadly, this seems to be a trend where people like think they ingest like hours of YouTube tutorials and then they figure out like, I know how to use it, but they don't use the software. They just watch it, watch other people use the software. So, I think about like, okay, what is actually learning? And so I have like this, highly elaborate piece of infographics here. So basically you start by learning the UIs, like the user interface, and then you learn maybe the internal concepts, you know, like maybe you click the buttons and what are layers and what are operators. Then you eventually figure out like, what can you actually do with this thing? You know, like the feature scope, and you know, maybe you learn what are actually the workarounds to, you know, to extend it. Maybe eventually you learn the internals. Eventually you do actually, hey, I need this feature. Here's a pull request. And then, eventually like people leave and do their own stuff, which is actually a great win. And then the cycle starts again. And actually like CableCL is basically this cycle. You know? You can also go into the design direction and actually learn to design stuff and maybe eventually do more than design. You actually think about like, why are you designing something and what's the message you actually want to convey? Why is it red, not blue? Why is it shiny? Or, you know, not thinking about the technical and the look, but more like about the message. And eventually you might be so confident or so arrogant that you start like talking about it and teaching people. And, sadly the funnel is like super extreme. So, I would say like from, let's say 100 people starting the software, maybe 10 end up like reaching like 50% of the feature scope. So, which is like super sad. And then if like the aim would be to bring people through learning the software into something that where I would call like mastery, where basically it doesn't matter if you learn this software, any software, we can just move on to another software because you understood like the APIs and the concepts and you know what the ZBuffer is and you expect the ZBuffer to be there in Touch Designer, then, this would be like every move towards the right side is great. And then our approach, hey, in Tixel, everything is an operator. And most of the thing you do in Tixel is actually operators. And so we can actually cover like a very large spectrum of this with operators. And so this is still a skill quest, a playful path to mastery, demo. Actually, right now we are running Texel, so maybe we should switch the thing here. And so if you install it from scratch, you wouldn't see this because these are my projects. Yeah, but you would see this, you know, like the most colorful patch, and the only colorful button that you see is like this, the start button here. I don't know what it is, but it seems to be the primary call to action, so I click it. And actually, this is you could imagine yourself being a tester, because this is how most people would test this. Yeah, like they wouldn't go into like what is this thing? So and then here, these early test levels introduce the basics of working with Texel's node graph. Okay, each level shows the target image at the bottom. Uh-huh. Recreated using available operators. Okay. If you get stuck. Yeah, the solution will reveal, and then basically you go there, drag this by connecting it. I solved it. And then basically this is how this whole thing works. So like it's getting, like you have like puzzles and you get like little instructions of like how to do stuff. The instructions get more and more complex, you know, like the first couple of things walk you through the user interface, which is like a little bit peculiar, but I think it has advantages. So you can snap operators, click, and then you're connected. When operators get close, they snap by dragging rounded edge towards the blob, dragging non-selected, long press to deselect. And then basically you walk you through the tutorial and get like learn undo, and then you snap it there, and then you finish the level. And so the basically tells you like how to unsnap and different levels. You can of course skip, so I don't want to like spoil. You can try it on your own. The interesting thing is that eventually you will figure out, okay, like there are topics or something that I would call topics, and there are levels. And a level is basically, a level is a lower, we just did 5 levels. And the topic is basically, okay, like the topic would be like the Texel essential, like it's an introduction. You can also like skip thing and go, hey, wait a second, you finish this topic, there are like plenty of more to learn. And eventually people will see, oh, wait a second, there's really a lot to learn. And like there, because this whole thing is like a landscape of knowledge, you could say. And then people can say, okay, I'm more interested into like 2D procedural design. So they go up into like the magenta, like image thing. So they learn about basic shapes and gradients and patterns and image effects and distortions and so on. And there's like, you know, unlocking. So like to do this, you probably should have done this. And if you go into like super advanced particle effects with textures, you probably might first want to learn how to create these textures. If you want to go into like SDF stuff, you might want to know like what is an SDF, and or if you want to do particle effects with 3D fields, you might first want to learn about SDF stuff. Where are we right now? So maybe let's skip this, go back to our talk here. Move this out of the way. So the current state is, well, I wrote six topics, and I figured out that actually creating the levels, it's not a problem. The problem is actually writing these levels. So I wrote like a small pipeline that generates it takes basically markdown texts and converts them into these levels. And then you just create operators and then basically go through like this, it imports like this markdown definition and creates like these steps. I created like 60 or so. And I think this whole landscape would be 1,000. Right now it's like 30 minutes, like the whole thing, but I think it should be probably weeks. So like there's a lot of work to do. The current state is that there's a workflow, which is, I think it works pretty nice. So hot code reloading and so on. We tested the thing with usability things. So like with a bunch of users, hey, here's the thing. Click. I don't tell you anything. And then we why did he do this? Why doesn't he know what this and this is and so on? So it's took a while to get like the first like 20 levels or so wide so that everybody could do them. But we know that there is, we need some kind of like tip system if the people don't figure, like if they're stuck, how to do or to move on. And my vision is actually to, of course, like cover like all the internals of like Tixel. Because of course I'm biased. Tixel is great. It's a lot of lot to gain from that. But actually, after this, I want to teach people like the way, like how graphics pipelines work. And I think that's like super important because like if everybody's using like Unity and Unreal, they will forget what's a shader pipeline. They will forget like how staging works and like for like, you know, like, and then eventually like the old people die out and maybe there's nobody left to teach the AI what to do. And so like it's important actually to, you know, like to actually train people to use the concepts and, you know, how to write shaders and so on. And then one thing I also want to do is to have basically community challenges because I think it would be great, like even for myself, which like, did a bunch of design, but still I noticed with myself that I don't do design for like a couple of months that I like my skill diminishes and I have to pick it up again. And so I thought, like, even for myself, it'd be cool if there would be like a creative challenge, and like Raphael does, or so. Like, here are like three circles, arrange them in 10 different ways, and then you do this, and like, oh, you're like, well, okay, I have three ways now. Like, oh. And then you go online and see like all the other like solutions of these like creative challenge that they are not technical, and like, I think this would be wonderful to have. That's all I've got. 2 minutes left.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Are there questions? There's a question. You can afterwards continue to pass the microphone on.
Beginning, you mentioned that.
Right at the beginning, you mentioned that tutorials don't work. I would be very interested in a few details on that.
So, I think the problem is that tutorials tend to, like, I did maybe like, let's say 5 hours of tutorials over my lifetime, you know, like really like, not just, but really like with rehearsal and scripting and so on, maybe like 10 or so. And the problem is that these, you optimize for the perfect impact because you optimize for the algorithm. You optimize for people falling through. The problem is that every time you screw up, it's not on camera. So people take away two assumptions. First, it's easy and it's never easy. It's never easy because like, you know the software, or I know the software, I'm making the tutorial and the other people making the tutorial, and the Blender Guru knows the software, but people watching this don't know the software. And then basically, I personally am convinced that the thing you learn is basically you hit a wall and then you dip, and you learn how to sample like your workarounds, how to put a crack into this wall. And this is the knowledge. The knowledge is not to know where the hole is. The knowledge is to look for the holes and like pick away like these, like find out. And that's why, that's why it's a puzzle game, it tells you like, okay, there's a solution. There must be a solution to arrange these three ops into like this, like, but how, like, and then eventually, there are like a bunch of, like, there's like one with like three operators and like 5 people couldn't figure it out, like super smart people. And like the one guy, no, I don't want to see the solution. And he came back like days later, like, I think I figured it out. But he was constantly thinking about like this, how to like, and I think that's why, long-winded answer. Sorry about that.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Questions? Iber has one.
I was wondering, from 0 to 100, how much you think the current tutorials benefit people not using Tixel, but in general for graphics?
I would say, like, if, like, this whole landscape, like, all the topics we have seen, I would say that 2/3 of this would be, is like cross-app powerful. Because, you know, you learn about, like, easing and procedure animation, you learn about things like Modulo and Fract, and, like, you know, like, the mathematical remapping curves, you know, like, this is, like, the same with, like, it's, you know, like, it's not about the programming language or about the tool, it's basically about, like, learning, ah, there's a thing like normalized time, and I can put it into, can multiply it by far and make Modulo and have a threshold, and suddenly you have a white flash, like, you know, and then you keep looking for, like, the building blocks in these other tools, and, of course, you find them.
Would it also be possible to affect 3D objects with audio input?
Oh yeah, tomorrow there will be a workshop, so I can show you like how to do this.
Perfect.
So I mean, it's not Unreal and it's not Unity, but it's pretty darn powerful. So So.
Thanks.
Okay, looks like that no questions are left. So thank you very much, Thomas.
But still, I noticed with myself that I don't do design for like a couple of months, that I like my skill diminishes and I have to pick it up again. And so I thought like even for myself, it'd be cool if there would be like a creative challenge. And like Raphael does, also like here are like 3 circles, arrange them in 10 different ways, and then you do this, and like okay, I have 3 ways now, like and then you go online and see like all the other like solutions of these like creative challenge that they are not technical, and like I think this would be wonderful to have. That's all I've got. 2 minutes left.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Are there questions? There's a question. You can afterwards continue to pass the microphone on.
Beginning, you mentioned that...
Right at the beginning, you mentioned that tutorials don't work. I would be very interested in a few details on that.
So, I think the problem is that tutorials tend to, like, I did maybe like, let's say 5 hours of tutorials over my lifetime, you know, like really like, not just, but really like with rehearsal and scripting and so on, maybe like 10 or so. And the problem is that these, you optimize for the perfect impact because you optimize for the algorithm. You optimize for people falling through. The problem is that every time you screw up, it's not on camera. So people go with, they take away two assumptions. First, it's easy, and it's never easy. It's never easy because, like, you know the software, or I know the software, I'm making the tutorial, and the other people making the tutorial, and the Blender Guru knows the software, but people watching this don't know the software. And then basically, yeah, I personally am convinced that the thing you learn is basically you hit a wall, and then you dip, 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 and you learn how to sample, like, your workarounds, how to put a crack into this wall. And this is the knowledge. The knowledge is not to know where the hole is. The knowledge is to look for the holes and, like, pick away, like, these, like, find out. And that's why, you know, that's why it's a puzzle game, you know? It tells you, like, okay, there's a solution. There must be a solution to arrange these 3 ops into, like, this, like, but how, like, and then eventually, you know, like there are like a bunch of, like there's like one with like 3 operators and like 5 people couldn't figure it out, like super smart people. And like the one guy, no, I don't want to see the solution. And he came back like days later, like, I think I figured it out. But he was constantly thinking about like this how to like, you know, and I think that's why, long-winded answer. Sorry about that.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Questions? Iber has one.
I was wondering, from 0 to 100, how much you think the current tutorials benefit people not using Tixel, but in general for graphics?
I would say, like, if, like, this whole landscape, like, all the topics we have seen, I would say that 2/3 of this would be, is like cross-app powerful. Because, you know, you learn about, like, easing and procedure animation, you learn about things like Modulo and Fract, and, like, you know, like, the mathematical remapping curves, you know, like, this is, like, the same with, like, it's, you know, like, it's not about the programming language or about the tool, it's basically about, like, learning, ah, there's a thing like normalized time, and I can put it into, can multiply it by far and make Modulo and have a threshold, and suddenly you have a white flash, like, you know, and then you keep looking for, like, the building blocks in these other tools, and, of course, you find them.
Would it also be possible to affect 3D objects with audio input?
Oh yeah, tomorrow there will be a workshop, so I can show you like how to do this.
Perfect.
So I mean, it's not Unreal and it's not Unity, but it's pretty darn powerful. So So.
Thanks.
Okay, looks like that no questions are left. So thank you very much, Thomas.